The American Catholic Identity, and equipping all Catholics to take whole responsibility for Christ Church.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The Little Catechism of the Curia of Ars. Selected passages from the writings of St. John Vianney. Continuing Part 2, Chapter 1, On Salvation. My children, let us not put off till the end of our life the care that we ought daily to take of our soul. Let us labor while there is yet time. Later it will no longer be within our power. Let us lay our hands to the work. Let us watch over ourselves. Above all, let us pray to the good God. With His assistance, we shall always have power over our passions. Man sins, my children. But if he has not in this first moment lost the faith, he runs, he hastens, he flies to seek a remedy for his ill. He cannot soon enough find the tribunal of penance where he can recover his happiness. That is the way we should conduct ourselves if we were good Christians. Yes, my children, we could not remain one moment under the empire of the devil. We should be ashamed of being his slaves. A good Christian watches continually, sword in hand. The devil can do nothing against him, for he resists him like a warrior in full armor. He does not fear him, because he has rejected from his heart all that is impure. Bad Christians are idle and lazy, and stand hanging their heads. And you see how they give way at the first assault. The devil does what he pleases with them. He presents pleasures to them. He makes them taste pleasure. And then, to drown the cries of their conscience, he whispers to them in a gentle voice, "Oh, thou wilt sin no more." And when the occasion presents itself, they fall again, and more easily than the first time. If they go to confession, he makes them ashamed. They speak only in half words. They lower their voice, they explain away their sins, and what is more miserable, they perhaps conceal some. The good Christian, on the contrary, groans and weeps over his sins, and reaches the tribunal of penance, already half justified. Chapter 2. On Death. A day will come, perhaps it is not far off, when we must bid adieu to life, adieu to the world, adieu to our relations, adieu to our friends. When shall we return, my children? Never. We appear upon this earth, we disappear, and we return no more. Our poor body, that we take such care of, goes away into dust. And our soul, all trembling, goes to appear before the good God. When we quit this world, where we shall appear no more, when our last breath of life escapes, and we say our last adieu, we shall wish to have passed our life in solitude, in the depths of a desert, far from the world and its pleasures. We have these examples of repentance before our eyes every day, my children. And we remain always the same. We pass our life gaily, without ever troubling ourselves about eternity. But our indifference to the service of the good God, one would think we were never going to die. See, my children, some people pass their whole life without thinking of death. It comes, and behold, they have nothing. Faith, hope, and love, all are already dead within them. When death shall come upon us, of what use will 3/4 of our life have been to us? With what are we occupied the greatest part of our time? Are we thinking of the good God? Of our salvation? Of our soul? Oh, my children, what folly is the world! We come into it, we go out of it, without knowing why. the good God places us in it to serve Him, to try if we will love Him and be faithful to His law. And after this short moment of trial, He promises us a recompense. Is it not just that He should reward the faithful servant and punish the wicked one? Should the Trappist, who has passed his life in lamenting and weeping over his sins, be treated the same as the bad Christian who has lived in abundance in the midst of all the enjoyments of life? No, certainly not. We are on earth not to enjoy its pleasures, but to labor for our salvation. Let us prepare ourselves for death. We have not a minute to lose. It will come upon us at the moment when we least expect it. It will take us by surprise. Look at the saints, my children, who were pure. They were always trembling. They pined away with fear. And we, who so often offend the good God, we have no fears. Life is given us that we may learn to die well, and we never think of it. We occupy ourselves with everything else. The idea of it often occurs to us, and we always reject it. We put it off to the last moment. Oh, my children, this last moment, how much it is to be feared. Yet the good God does not wish us to despair. He shows us the good thief, touched with repentance, dying near Him on the cross. But He is the only one. And then, see, He dies near the good God. Can we hope to be near Him at our last moment? We who have been far from Him all our life. What have we done to deserve that favor? A great deal of evil and no good. There was once a good Trappist father who was trembling all over at perceiving the approach of death. Someone said to him, "Father, of what then are you afraid?" "Of the judgment of God," he said. "Ah, if you dread the judgment, you who have done so much penance, you who love God so much, who have been so long preparing for death, what will become of me?" See, my children, to die well, we must live well. To live well, we must seriously examine ourselves. Every evening, think over what we have done during the day. At the end of each week, review what we have done during the week. At the end of each month, review what we have done during the month. At the end of the year, what we have done during the year. By this means, my children, we cannot fail to correct ourselves and to become fervent Christians in a short time. Then, when death comes, we are quite ready. We are happy to go to heaven. Chapter 3. On the Last Judgment. Our catechism tells us, my children, that all men will undergo a particular judgment on the day of their death. No sooner shall we have breathed our last sigh than our soul, without leaving the place where it has expired, will be presented before the tribunal of God. Wherever we may die, God is there to exercise His justice. The good God, my children, has measured out our years, and of those years that He has resolved to leave us on this earth, He has marked out one which shall be our last, one day which we shall not see succeeded by other days. One hour, after which there will be for us no more time. What distance is there between that moment and this? The space of an instant. Life, my children, is a smoke, a light vapor. It disappears more quickly than a bird that darts through the air, or a ship that sails on the sea and leaves no trace of its course. When shall we die? Alas, will it be in a year? In a month? Perhaps tomorrow? Perhaps today? May not that happen to us, which happens to so many others? It may be that at a moment when you are thinking of nothing but amusing yourself, you may be summoned to the judgment of God, like the impious Balthazar. What will then be the astonishment of that soul entering on its eternity? Surprised, bewildered, separated thenceforth from its relations and friends, and as it were surrounded with divine light, it will find in its Creator no longer a merciful Father, but an inflexible Judge. Imagine to yourselves, my children, a soul at its departure from this life. It is going to appear before the tribunal of its Judge, alone with God. There is heaven on one side, hell on the other. What object presents itself before it? The picture of its whole life, all its thoughts, all its words, all its actions are examined. This examination will be terrible, my children, because nothing is hidden from God. His infinite wisdom knows our most inmost thoughts. It penetrates to the bottom of our hearts and lays open their innermost folds. In vain sinners avoid the light of day, that they may sin more freely. They spare themselves a little sham in the eyes of men, but it will be of no advantage to them at the day of judgment. God will make light the darkness, under cover of which they thought to sin with impunity. The Holy Ghost, my children, says that we shall be examined on our words, our thoughts, our actions. We shall be examined even on the good we ought to have done, and have not done, on the sins of others of which we have been the cause. Alas, so many thoughts to which we abandon ourselves, to which the mind gives itself up. How many in one day, in a week, in a month, in a year? How many in the whole course of our life? Not one of this infinite number will escape the knowledge of our Judge. This has been taken from the Little Catechism of the Curé of Ars, made available courtesy of Tan Books and Publishers, Incorporated. For more information, call 1-800-437-5876 or contact them on the web at www.tanbooks.com.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network, news and talk for Catholic and other Christians.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
The stock market,
the world economy,
interest rates,
political change.
In a world full of uncertainty, you can find comfort that your investments are in line with your moral beliefs by investing with the Ave Maria.